Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 484. My name's Will Koontz, and with me is Anna Hummel. Still got the nails, looking good. They actually look better now that they've had a little chance to... Oh, nope, they don't. Never mind. Some are missing.
Some I had a few casualties over the weekend. So.
Some look better. I mean, they kind of look like that they've just like, you know, if you build a building, you got to build a foundation. The foundation kind of settles, you know, they call it. It kind of looks like that on your nails.
Yeah, except these guys. One popped off at Trader Joe's. I was like, what? And then the other one popped off and I was like, well... Now it's just a vibe.
A waiting. Now, are you going to do the waiting game of waiting for them to fall off, or are you just going to yank them off?
I don't know. I know it's really bad for your nails to rip them off, so I'm going to just, you know, hope they come off naturally. Much like losing teeth when you're, you know, in third grade. I'm not going to yank it. Just kind of loosen it up, and then, you know, maybe right when it's about to come off, I'll make the final pull.
Oh, okay. Because I was a ripper. If my teeth were even sort of loose, I would just rip them out.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was scared of pain, so I waited to the last, you know, they'd be bending like all the way up and around, and then it was just like, so.
Oh, yeah, mine, I would just get in there with my little forefinger, my thumb, and just tear. I wonder if that's a male or female thing. I don't know.
I would say it's probably more common among males to, you know, seek out pain.
It wasn't so much the pain I was seeking out. It would annoy me that something was loose in my mouth. That happy Pride Month. And then the other thing was that I wanted the dollar that came with it. And I wanted it
now.
You
just got $1?
Yeah, I only got $1. What did you get?
Like at least 5, maybe 10. Oh. Maybe if Pops is feeling good, maybe 20.
God. Oh my God. Yeah, I got one measly dollar. I mean, I grew up poor, so I guess that probably explains it. But yeah. I thought that was awesome. In fact, I think I actually saved my Tooth Fairy money for like a while. Well, I was going to say a while. To me, it seemed like forever, but it was probably like a few months or something. Because you lose all your teeth kind of in around the same period. Like, what does it take, a year, maybe two, to get them all out and get the new ones?
Yeah, I'd say probably 3, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like my childhood is just a blur. Like a great blur, but it's just a blur.
Yeah, one of the things I'm noticing, we might have even talked about this the other day, was that how like time, you know, time's relative. And I was thinking about summer vacations because today's a summer solstice, by the way, on the 21st of June when we're recording this podcast, and how it seemed to just go on and on forever, never ending. And now, you know, a few months goes by just like that. All of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah, to think that we're halfway through this year is mind-boggling, but such is life. It's beautiful and horrible at the same time, you know?
It's fleeting.
When you're in a bad place, it goes by quickly even, but when you're in a good place and you just kind of want things to stay still and be stagnant, it moves too quickly. So it is scary. I don't know if we want to get down to into an existential crisis today, but I texted you earlier asking if we could do this a little bit earlier because I feel like I'm dying.
Why?
I got back from a bachelorette party.
That's right.
Which was in Boise. And Boise is amazing. Stunning. To the point where I apologized to the front desk lady at my hotel. I said, I am so sorry I called Idaho a flyover state. I take that back because this place is stunning. It's right by a river. It is super clean and there's almost zero diversity. I mean, talk about a dream come true.
Wow, that sounds like a good time.
What? Yeah, it was awesome. Loved it. By the way, joking about the diversity. So anybody that's watching trying to cancel me, that was a joke. Go kiss my black booty hole. Okay. Now, everything was great. Loved it. Few things I realized on the trip. Number one, I am weird. I am weird.
You just found this out.
Well, when you hang around people like you or the Bubba Squad, you don't really get a good understanding of like how strange you and your interests are until you hang around, like, for me, normal women, like basic, nice women. When I was hanging out with them, I'm like, oh, I cannot, like, immediately goes into, you know, talking about the gut microbiome, North Korea. I played myself with one of them. I should have known better. Most of them were from Denver, Portland, California.
Yikes.
So I was very curious as to, you know, things that they thought about different parts of the country. And without even any hesitation, when they addressed the group about anything political, whether it be anything, they just assume everyone's on the same page. It's so interesting.
You know why? Like, you know why that is? Yeah. Because they watch TV and they watch, you know, cable news maybe from time to time. So they just assume that, quote unquote, you know, everybody, normal people, feel the exact same way that they do. You know, so it's kind of one of those things where you just feel comfortable saying it. I would never assume, because there's a lot of diversity of thought out there, really.
Is there within, well, that's the thing, like in their circles, there's not.
In their circles,
is they're quiet about it, so they just don't know. And so it was really interesting when they would just openly, you know, trash talk. And in their mind, like, they can't even, they think of a conservative as someone who's like, for example, Mormon. There's apparently a lot of Mormons in Idaho. So in their mind, like, if you're not an evangelical, like, clearly you're just a normal liberal like them. What? And you're also friends with their friends. Like, I only knew a couple girls there, but, you know, if you're a friend of their friend, they're like, well, of course you're not like that. You know, why? You're not a normal fun, you wouldn't be okay around a gay person, like, you know. So I got duped, and it was my fault, quite frankly. I should have known better. Normal people are boring, and it is definitely more fun being weird. But thank you, Smokey 420. Appreciate it. But there was a woman that I was talking to, because, you know, there's like 13 girls. So when you're going on a trek to the next bar, restaurant, you kind of pair up with someone new and you start just chatting away. So she tricked me, because she said something along the lines of, like, she made some sort of joke and she's like, well, I don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, that's, see, that's so a good thing.
Chat signal.
She like, did. Yeah. She's like, you're, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
They're my girls. But this person was also a ginger, 4'11", short, butch haircut with the comb over and the shaved head, and from Denver, you know, giving me, I'm looking at this person and I'm like, that's definitely lesbian. And then when she said, I don't want to offend anybody, I'm like, okay. Then she starts, you know, and before that point, she was talking about her fiance, who was a male. She definitely used he, him pronouns. So I'm like, I had this chick all wrong. She just has a short haircut.
Yeah.
She's not one of them.
Uh-huh.
So she goes, well, I don't want to offend anybody. So I'm like, right. Wouldn't want to make an assumption about gender. And she looks at me and she goes, well, I actually would be kind of offended if you started talking about that. And I said, oh, right.
Man. Yeah.
I go, right. And she goes, I actually identify as, I'm queer. So, you know, at this point I'm like, okay, I take responsibility for that. Cause this is why you need to be prejudiced, because you're always right. Like, I was right in my head and I self-edited because she said, I don't want to offend anybody. And then I said something and she was immediately offended. And then I go, right, this is exactly why you should be prejudiced. Because you're always, prejudging is always on point. So, I you know, whatever. I played myself. So at this point, the only way to recover is to just be curious. You're like, oh, right. I'm like, actually, I would love to ask you some questions about this because I would love to learn more. So you just get people start talking about themselves. So I go, all right. Now, mind you, everybody else is talking about the weather and but we're like in the back of the caboose of the, you know, the group. And I'm like, all right, let's at least put on our white lab coat and get some answers. So I go, you know, how do you identify? What is queer? Like, you define it for me. Cause she said she identified as queer. I said, okay, well, you identify for me. So she does. And then I go, and you are that? You are the Q word? And she goes, yes.
What did she say it was?
Huh?
What did she say that queer meant? Oh,
she just basically said anything where you're like, what was it? Anything that involves like gender identity or orientation that's outside of the norm.
Okay.
Like, so it's a very loose umbrella term.
Yeah.
So seems I like go, you could, well, anybody could really you don't mind me asking.
Uh-huh.
You know, you look like you probably have a double X and you were engaged to a guy. How are you queer? Question mark. And she's like, oh, I'm bisexual. I go, okay. Right. Of course. Okay. And she goes, so I identify as queer. I said, great. I said, but your fiance is not. She goes, no, he's a cisgendered male, okay. Not white. So don't get any ideas.
I thought that initially that maybe her partner had XX as well, but identified as male. That's where I thought that this was going.
Now, for some reason, I knew that that wasn't the case because she also proceeded to tell the group that she thought that men were trash until she met her fiance. Mm-hmm. Now, that would have been extra hilarious if it was a trans man.
Yeah, but, you know, still, I mean, yeah, that would be insane and goofy, but I feel like that's totally reasonable now, mm-hmm. where it could potentially be like, I thought men were garbage until I met my fiance. Yes, they were born female, but now they identify as male. So they are male. Ergo, men are okay now.
Yeah. So, and it was really funny because when she said that to the group, she's like, yeah, men are trash or something about, it was something about men being trash. I went, oh, don't say that. Like, we're all with men. Like, you're with a guy. Yeah, yeah. I'm with a guy. Literally everyone here is married or getting married or on the road to getting married to a man. So why are we saying that? Like, but I didn't go. I just go, oh, come on. What the? I wanted to be like, men built this country, bitch. But, you know, I had said enough for that day. But it was awesome because it was exactly the stereotype that we make fun of all the time. I dove head into and then, you know, made the mistake of assuming right, self-correcting, and then self-correcting again because I got tricked. Mm-hmm. But that's the way to go is if you get caught in a little kerfuffle, a little low kerfuffle, you go, oh, I'm just ignorant. Help me see the light. I don't know what this means. I didn't mean to be insensitive. Tell me. And then you let people talk and you're like, wow, you're insane. That's awesome.
But you can't do that. I mean, you can't really certainly push back. You wouldn't even want to push back really in that scenario. Cause you gotta, you know, hang out with these folks for,
I'm just trying to make friends, you know, I'm just trying to make friends. So yeah, I dialed it back. I babyface big time, you know. Because I'm here for my friend, and I'm not trying to ruin her party by talking about guns and illegal immigrants. Come on. So
yeah, I mean, like, it's
every once in a while I make a sly comment to someone that I knew was cool that would understand me, you know?
It's weird though that kind of stuff is even on the agenda for a bachelorette party anyway. Like politics being on the agenda is weird, and it seems like it's very commonplace because it is so front and center in everybody's lives that it gets talked about daily, but it should be like penis straws and, you know, penis cakes and it's just everything related to penises. And then you talk about, I don't know, what do girls like Vanderpump Rules? I guess what you talk about the show, and you just enjoy yourself and you get drunk and people cry.
That's what everyone else is talking about, but you know me, Will. I'm talking about the gut microbiome, North Korea, the time I lived with a murderer, all just the you know, the classics, the greatest hits album of my life, where they go, what have you been up to? And they start talking about their exes and how bad they were. And I go, hold my beer. Let me tell you, sit down. Let me tell you a little story about a guy named Marbles. So, you know, that's how I bring down the house. But it was great. It was fun.
Anybody that you'll keep in contact with? Maybe new friends.
Yes.
Really?
Well, a few girls I knew, some from college that I hadn't seen in like 15 years. And so that was really cool to see them. One girl who was an absolute drunken mess, alcoholic, and a bad one at that, who kept me up all night. And she was like the oldest one there, which is even more embarrassing. You know, if you're 21 to 25 and you're a drunk mess, fine. But when you're almost 38 and the 28-year-old has to take you home or, you know, to the hotel to regroup, that should be a wake-up call that things are not going well for you and you probably need to adjust some things in your life. But anyways, it so happens that this girl lives in Denver, drunk mess girl. And she was blacked out probably and invited me to stay at her place when the wedding happens in September. So I went, yes, thank you so much. Because she saved me $700 on a hotel for 3-4 nights. So
you were
staying in contact with her, most definitely.
You are getting yourself in a heap of trouble right now just for being cheap. Because this, you know why?
$700?
Yeah, but I mean, like, your time is money, and now you're going to kind of go to the wedding with this chick. You might sit with this woman. She's going to get blackout drunk. She's obviously a mess because she's at a bachelorette party, and she's 38 and single. Or is she single? I guess
she's not single.
Is she married?
I did inquire about, I go, is this out? Because it's hard to tell, because when people are on holiday mode, they could be like, for example, my friend Katie. She has two kids at home. She has a real job. But when she goes out, she gets effing crazy. But then that's not her MO. But with this girl who was the drunken mess, I just had a sneaking suspicion that this was her MO. So, you know me, I put my white lab coat on and I start talking to people about whatever. And I go, yeah, so-and-so's not doing so well. She's pretty hungover. By the way, is she just kind of crazy? Or is this just a bachelorette thing? Or is this kind of how she goes through life? And apparently it's like, no, this is her MO. This is her every weekend. So I went, cute. Well, she kept me up all night. And when I told her, you know, if we could just keep it down and that I was unable to sleep the first night, you know, of course the next night she, opens the door and she's like, oh, is that you? And, yeah. Yes. I'm going to sleep at midnight. You have all this energy because you would be taken home at 5:30 p.m. at dinner time because you were almost facing the Brussels sprouts. So someone had to take you home. You had a 4-hour power nap and decided to go back out at, you know, 11 p.m. So now it's 5 a.m. and you've got all the energy in the world. So, but she did offer up her house. And although I don't, am not looking forward to staying with her, I am looking forward to saving $700. So, you know,
does she live with, the man or whoever she's with?
And also she has a 4-bedroom house. Mm. So it's not like it's a studio apartment.
Married or just lives with somebody?
Lives with a man. And apparently they're toxic, but according to her, they are soulmates. So.
Well, maybe that's why she drinks.
I'll be saving some money. So that's all good.
How long is the trip? How long are you going to stay with this person? With drunk mess.
I'm probably going to fly up on, it's a Labor Day weekend. So I'll fly up on the Friday, probably return on Monday. So.
Okay. All right.
Three nights. Yeah. But this was the cherry on top. And then we'll close out the Boise trip. Wake up Sunday. I wake up early. I borrowed this girl's eye mask. So I return that to her. Cause you know, it's always the worst when someone new, you're like, oh, let me borrow this. And then it's like, they don't try to return it to you. Like, oh, I missed you. Sorry. I had an early flight. I didn't see you. Now I have this really awesome eye mask. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wake up early and make sure I get all the things back to the people that, you know, own them. And then I'm like, well, I'm up now. Might as well check in for my flight and be responsible. Kept trying to check in and it kept kicking me out. And I went, that's weird. And then they just sent me an email and said, your flight's canceled.
Oh, no.
I'm like, you ever see a message, Will, like text or an email, and you just read it and it's maybe in the morning and you go, oh, this is about to F up my whole day. Start to finish, it's going to be an S show. So I saw that and I was like, you know what? I'm going to finish my coffee. Because I'm going to need all parts of my brain to solve this puzzle, this conundrum I'm about to be in. So sure enough, Spirit just canceled my flight, didn't offer to reschedule me a new one, wouldn't call me back when I was in queue. And so I ended up buying about a $500 flight to get home.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more and more common now, too. Yeah. They used to be pretty reliable. At some point, but my flight got canceled when I was out in Carolina for Christmas, my return flight.
Yeah. And they're not like, call this number. They're not like here to reschedule. They're just like, and they don't even tell you it's cause the weather. They just go, hey, BT dubs, your flight not happen. No mo. And you're just like, okay, cool. So, that was a little bit stressful.
And you had to get home. So yeah, this was, yeah. I mean, it's hardly, I almost wonder if it's on purpose. It's like hardly worth it. Cause if you're flying Spirit Airlines, you're clearly flying on a budget. I mean, that is truly, you know, it's a Chuck E. Cheese in the sky. You know, you're trying to conserve funds here and, you know, getting a hotel or whatever, and they're not going to reimburse you for the hotel. Didn't the president put a thing, sign a bill where airlines will have to be, accountable for when they cancel flights and like set you up with a hotel and stuff.
Yeah. And I think Bubba even said that he's like, if Biden can pass that, I will vote for him. Cause the same thing happened to him on the way back. He went to Reno not too long ago to visit his dad and same thing happened to him. And then insult to injury, they have the audacity to email you the next day and ask you, how was your flight?
Yeah, one of those automated.
There you go, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, great. Didn't happen.
No, so here's the thing. I ended up getting in touch with a bot, and they told me that you can file a complaint and attach your receipts for the unexpected expenses you had to pay. And then, you know, of course, I submitted it and they go, oh, well, actually, we're incurring a high volume of, you know, complaints or whatever. So we'll get back to you in about 30 days. You're like, cool.
Yeah.
Good thing you have a little extra money because like $500, a lot of people don't have just $500 hanging out.
Especially
you know?
People that are flying Spirit Airlines. But, you know, the thing with the bill that passed where they have to reimburse you, it's not like it's going to come out of their profits. They're just going to pass it along to travelers. So Spirit Airlines is going to be $500 pretty soon in order to fly. Maybe that's part of the deal, too, is, well, we'll make it too expensive for the commoners to fly. We'll just make it like an elite type of transportation,
which it used to kind of be back in the day.
Yeah maybe that's the way it should be. I don't know. I mean, do you need to go to Savannah, Georgia? You can just stay in your pod, you know. You got everything you need.
Yeah But thankfully I got home, everything was okay, and where was I going with this? I'm glad I went. It was worth it. It was worth the stress of, you know, coming back. And here's the thing. I didn't even want to tell the other girls that my flight got canceled because then a lot of times people want to like show that they're helping and they'll be like, oh, let me look at it. And I'm like, please don't. So they were kind of just like, why are you getting ready? You're like, when's your flight? And I go, eh, it's been canceled. And they go, oh my God. I'm like, no, no, no. Don't, I'm not asking you to, I don't want to burden you with this. Cause the day before, Ginger Skrillex Head was like, Anna. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, I feel like you're the most sober person here. Can you help me with something with my flight? How do I uncheck in? I go, what?
Why would you do that?
She goes, I want to not check into my flight. Cause she had to go to an emergency, whatever, somewhere. She had to go to Seattle instead of whatever.
Oh.
I go, just don't show up.
Yeah.
That's fine. You're not going on the flight. You've lost your money. You don't have to do the airline a courtesy by not checking in because screw them. So she's like, oh, okay. You know, whereas with me, I'm like, you're already worried about getting on your own flight. Who's picking you up? You know, all that's all the logistics. Like, I didn't want to worry anybody about, like, you know, sitting there with their computer trying to help me find the best deal on a flight. So I figured it out. It's all good. I made it home and then got up at 4:50 the next morning and went to work, which was brutal.
Yeah, you got to cycle through. It's like I was telling you just before we started. It's like that week is, you just have to be tired and out of whack. Go through the cycle of the weekend, and on Monday you start back with your routine and you're good to go after that. But it does take a little while. I like that these two comments came in, one right after the other. Bob says, Anna is extremely misogynistic. True. Very true. And Mike from St. Pete says, penis cakes are patriarchal supremacy.
Thoughts? I only do with cake, but they're not.
Hey, if it's cake, I'm going to eat it. Penis shaped or not. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Time to shift gears because I need to know why you're in the midst of a monk fast.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Why are you doing it? Those are my only questions.
Yeah. So I have not eaten. And now we're coming up on 24 hours. Last time I ate was about 6 p.m. last night. So about 23 hours right now. Holding strong. I went through a few phases today of being severely hungry and then just kind of fading away. Now I'm just kind of sort of hungry. I gotta say it hasn't been that bad as of yet. Now, how did this happen? Let me preface this. A monk fast is 36 hours with just water, coffee, black coffee, and tea. And you can do any, I guess technically you could do Diet Coke, but Don't do that. No calories in your system. So this came about because Johnny B last night said he was doing some research and he said he was going to try this out and then challenged me to do it with him.
And why does he want to try this out?
The rationale he gave was that he's having some inflammation. He doesn't feel that good. And he wants to, you know, once he's on his weight loss journey and he read online that this could be beneficial to him. So he's going to give it a whirl. He went home last night and said he made some, in his Ninja Creamy ice cream maker, he made some protein ice cream with whey protein and a few other things, I guess. And he was going to eat that at midnight and then he was going to be clean for 36 hours. So I, in solidarity with him, I agreed to do this challenge.
But you started at different times, obviously.
I'm 6 hours ahead. Yeah, okay. Technically. So I could theoretically eat tomorrow at which will be the 22nd at 6 a.m.
Oh, it's 6 a.m. Right.
But I won't be up at 6 a.m. And so really, he's going to start at noon. Probably I won't eat. Maybe if I'm really hurting, I'll make a protein shake or something in the morning.
Have you ever gone to bed hungry before?
Yeah, I feel like that's a subtle fat joke on your end.
No. I didn't mean it like that at all. But it's different if you're just trying to muscle through the day because you could have like coffee or tea.
Yeah.
But then when it's time to go to bed and you shouldn't be having pretty much anything, especially anything with caffeine.
Yeah.
It's just you and water.
Yeah.
Staring down. And sometimes, you know, if you're not used to being hungry, it can be hard to fall asleep. Why ask?
Yeah. You know, I didn't really think about that. I think I'll be okay. I mean, I think worst comes to worst, if I just can't sleep because I'm too hungry, I'll do a Benadryl or something. I don't think there's any calories in Benadryl.
Yeah. Honestly, if you get to the point where you're tired enough, you won't be hungry. but
yeah, that's what I think too. This is something that if it's not torturous, then I guess it'll be something I'll continue to do every week. The thing that I was reading on, and it was like a healthline.com article or something, that they say in order to keep the benefits of this. And I will say that Healthline, which I believe is a reputable website publication, was, pretty like this might be benefit. There's studies that they mentioned. They did mention there are some downsides potentially with, particularly with females and reproductive health. If you're trying to get pregnant, this probably isn't the best diet for you. But
and they're suggesting you do it once a week or what?
Yes, once a week. They said.
And what about the rest of the week? You just stay fed the whole time, or?
I guess it's kind of up to you. I'm not going to go just to eat in Panda Express. You know, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm kind of like, in certain ways, I'm like, well, I'm going to save money. I won't have to spend 1 day of food. I'm going to save a month, 4 days. So that's like, probably $20 that I'll save a month. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to continue to do it or not, but it's something that Johnny B wanted to do it. And for solidarity with him, I said, let's give it a try. Because I did see there's this football player, offensive lineman, and it was one of those clickbaity type of articles, and it said that he's an offensive lineman, big dude, 300 pounds plus, and then when he retired, they showed a picture of him now, and he's like thin, 170 pounds, and he did it by doing a fast for 40 days where he just had water. And supposedly one of the benefits of this fast is that it kind of resets your systems, good for everything. And I mean, in at least in theory and kind of thinking about it logically, it seems to make sense. Like, should we be fed all the time?
No.
You should be hungry.
I've been screaming this from the rooftops. The only problem that I have with this is especially if you're not used to fasting, like for me, I could do 36 hours. No problem. Mm. I've done 45. I typically do anywhere between 21 and 24 usually. Mm. So 36 is no big deal for me, but to someone who is not used to that, I would not suggest doing that because it's going to be a very uncomfortable experience. And then you're probably less likely to do it again. You know what I mean? But there are so many health benefits to fasting, everything from your gut microbiome to, mostly your glucose, insulin. Mm-hmm. The more you fast, the more sensitive you become to insulin. Obviously, if you don't have any glucose or glycogen in the body, then your body starts actually burning stored fat, which is what most people are trying to do.
Yeah, the ketosis, right?
People
eating in the keto diet, they go into ketosis after, 18 hours or whatever.
Yeah, so well, yes, but they don't have to be completely fasted. But if they don't have any glucose, which is why they're just eating like essentially just fats and some protein, then they're able to, they don't have any glucose. So they're burning ketones and they're in ketosis. And then that way they're able to burn stored fat. I learned recently, I think I told you that only like 93% of Americans are metabolically flexible, which means they're always in a fed state. They're never burning fat, which is a little scary. So listen, I'm all about fasting. I'm not really about shotgun fasting, especially if it's like, do this once a month or once a week. It's like,
well, how often do you do it? You got to do it like just every now and again. You'll be like, I think I'm just not going to eat today.
I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I would just work my way up to that. Like if I were you, cause you're doing what? Mostly 18-6.
Yeah.
16,
yeah.
Eight.
I'm already kind of doing it. So I'm doing half that time anyways.
Okay. I mean, like you're already kind of used to doing that. A lot of people aren't used to even doing that. I don't think a 36 hour once a week would kill you. I think it'd actually be really good for you, to be honest with you. Cause your goal is you're trying to lose fat, right?
Correct. I have too much of it. I don't need it. I would like to be rid of it.
Yeah. But get excited because the longer that you do fast, and this happened to me when I did my 45 hour fast, it starts to put you in a really spiritual state of mind. Mm. You become I don't believe in God, but you become closer to the universe, it feels. You start to, at some points, you almost feel like you're hallucinating a little bit because you're feeling a little bit woozy. You start to become very in tune with what your body is doing. You could feel everything, every gurgle, you know. You start really dissecting what it is, what it means to be hungry. You know, like you'll feel it. I'm like, why am I so afraid of this? Is it painful? You're like, not really. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah. All right, I'm going to wait 20 minutes. And then it dissipates. And you're like, wow, I thought hunger was like going to the bathroom where it just gets worse until you release it, you know, but it's not. It's transient.
Yeah.
So, you know, get ready for your ayahuasca fasting trip because it's coming.
Well, I mean, I already kind of had that where I'm like, oh man, I'm hungry. And I even opened the cabinet. Like it's time. My body was like, it's time to eat. What are you doing? It's time to eat. It's noon. You're hungry now. And I was like, nope, me. Sorry, not today. And I shut the cabinet and went through the pangs for a while. And then it kind of went away and drank some water. And now it's getting to be again, right around feeding time again on the clock around 5:36. I usually eat. And getting a little hungry again, but it'll pass. I know it'll pass. I'm not really.
I didn't know that until I started intermittent fasting.
Oh yeah,
I didn't know it would pass.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how Johnny's doing. I'm excited to talk to him tonight. The thing that kind of stinks about this is I'm usually in bed by, you know, we're off the air at 10 p.m. and I usually come home, take a shower, and I'm usually asleep by 11:30. So now I have to stay up till midnight tonight because we're not on until after Ask the Dom. So it's 10 to midnight. So I'm going to be awake probably until about 1. So I'd be interested to find out what it's like then. And that would be, we're at like 30 hours at that point, right around then. So that'll be interesting.
Is this the longest one you've ever done?
This will be the longest one. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
By probably double, because I usually just did the 18 maybe was the longest before that. So I'm doubling it up.
Did you ever weigh yourself at Publix?
No, I forgot. Yeah. But, I mean, I kind of feel like even if it doesn't do it, I feel like this is good for me anyways, in like a way that it's maybe not healthy necessarily, like keeping a normal diet. But I feel like that the accelerated kind of lifestyle that we live as human beings, like the way we live is bad for our bodies. It's not the way humans are supposed to be. You're not supposed to be, you know, be able to go to a box in a corner of the room where you got food in it. Like if you walked around or farmed or whatever, and your collection for that day hunted, you came home hungry if you didn't catch anything. That wasn't that long ago. I mean, it is exponentially increased. And I feel like that's part of the reasons why cancers and all these diseases are up higher. You know, that's a lot of reasons, not just one thing. You know, it's not like
it's mostly diet.
You can blame it on shots or whatever that you get, inoculations, stuff like that. A lot of people want to do that. And maybe that is part of it. I don't know. I don't want to get banned here. But, you know, there's a lot of different factors. The container, the microplastics that we you know, create and that are in our body.
Pesticides and hormones.
All of that stuff.
And you can't escape it. Like even me, the health nut queen, you know, I still have to buy tomatoes from the store that are covered in pesticides, herbicides, whatever. What am I going to do? We got compost. We're trying to, you know, make our own, but you know, you grow something for 6 months, you get, you know, 4 strawberries. It's like, I can't live like this.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like a necessary evil. You do the best you can.
Yeah, you could get chickens and, you know, but what are you feeding your chickens? What the feed are you feeding them? So how good is your, I mean, it's unavoidable, but
yeah.
I feel like this is one small way and it may not be doing that much difference, but I feel
it
like
is.
It's.
It is. Well, it is the best thing you could do. And I know I talk about this all the time, but the more that you can return to an ancestral way of living, because like you said, our ancestors didn't eat every day. Sometimes they didn't eat for weeks if they didn't find anything, you know, if there was a bad storm or a blizzard and ain't no berries, couldn't catch anything. You just didn't eat. And that was that. And your body dealt with it. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast recently talking about the way that we put on fat had a huge influence on how we survived to be where we are today. Because when you didn't have food, your body had this beautiful little thing called stored fat where, you know, you would essentially just burn that for energy. And you were able to stay focused and you were able to, it's not like you were like, I'm so hungry, I can't move. It's like, no, you really dialed it in. You know, your cortisol goes up, everything goes up. You need to be really alert because you need to go find food.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all these people that tell you you need 3 meals a day, don't skip breakfast. That's BS. You should be skipping way more meals. And I found out that the longest fast that was like monitored by health physicians was like over 300 days.
Yeah, Smokey said in the comments that that 40 days you'd be dead, but especially this football player, you know, who's got plenty of stored fat on him. You could have gone much longer, really.
Yes. Yeah, this person went three. Now, granted, the person was morbidly obese, but had a lot of stored energy and was being monitored, made sure that their hydration levels were good and that they had enough electrolytes. Cause if you don't have like enough salt and balance and stuff like that, magnesium, you can die. But he was monitored by health professionals and all of his biomarkers, health markers improved. And he was not eating at all for 300 days. So not suggesting you do that, but you know, your body's more resilient than you think it is what I like to tell people. You know?
I think this is easier too, because I did this diet, fad diet a while ago where it was 600 calories like twice a week or something. Where you would just,
horrible.
That was really tough because you got a little taste. And then you were like,
That's what an appetizer is. Isn't it like French or something? Where it's you eat something and it actually makes you more hungry.
Right.
Ready for the entree.
Right.
So if you don't eat, it's actually much easier, because I know I've done this with myself where if I have like something small, I'm like, oh, now I'm really hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just not eat and wait for the big meal than to eat and then try to stop myself.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I saw this years ago. It was a dude who was like super ripped. And then it's the article or whatever said that it's a picture of him and he's like totally cut and zero body fat on him. And then he's got a pizza that he folded up in his hand and he's like eating it. I don't think that's probably
what are they trying to show? Like, oh, if it fits your macros.
If it's in his, you know, he just fast for a few days and then you can eat whatever you want. Like, I feel like that's a bad way of doing it too. You shouldn't just
I wouldn't recommend that, but you honestly will, you can get away with a lot more. A, because you have less insulin in your body because you have a smaller feeding window. So it's not like you're eating throughout the day and your insulin is high. It's just like there's a big insulin spike and then it goes down and you're good. But secondly, which makes more sense, is you're just not able to eat that much in one sitting. So you're just having fewer calories.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that so. Too. It's still probably just that move more, consume less type thing where if you're fasting, you're consuming less calories. So that goes into it too. Kevin had an aggressive comment. He said he's been eating one meal a day since 1975, called us the P word, and then said he can do more push-ups than me or you maybe. And he's 58. I don't know. I could do a good amount of push-ups, Kev. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you want to challenge me, we can get down. But I haven't seen Kevin, so I don't know if I want to. He might be.
I think he's pretty jacked.
He said he didn't eat breakfast or lunch, so didn't want. Yeah, I don't really. I always had a sour stomach in the morning anyway, so I never really did do the breakfast thing. Anyways, I'll do breakfast on a weekend, but at like 10 a.m.
I love breakfast. I eat breakfast every day of my life, and up until 2 years ago.
What do you usually eat? Just yogurt? See, your diet is so weird, though. Like I've seen you eat, and it's disturbing. It makes me barf.
Yeah. I mean, lately I've been dialing back the intermittent fasting because it worked too good and I was losing too much weight. But, yeah, for most people, I would definitely recommend doing it, trying to do at least 16 to 18 hours a day. But yeah, usually I just try to, when I do break my fast, it's usually a big salad. And then that's like my savory. And then my sweet is like, you know, the banana with the yogurt deal. So
no egg. Do you do eggs?
It's not for everybody.
Do you do eggs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every day, almost.
Yeah, same.
Love eggs.
Well, wish me luck. It's going to be...
Keep me updated, because this is my jam right here. So, you know, I wish you would have started like a diary, like hour one, feeling confident, hour 24, FML.
Well, it's not even by the hour. It's like by the minute it can kind of change, which is weird. So yeah, right now I'm approaching feeding times at 5:16 PM on June 21st. So
you at a record breaker right now?
What's that?
Are you at this 24 hour mark? Have you ever done 24 before?
I mean, maybe if I was sick or something, I just didn't want to eat, but I don't think so. I think this is the longest, definitely intentional one that I've ever done. So,
well, kudos to you, because there's no way that I would have been able to start with a 36 hour fast. So
if I go to check the mail for my work, which I probably should do if the rain clears up, I'll stop in the Publix and see what it is right now. And then
that's
at least something. Kevin said you can do 150 pushups. All right, Kevin can do more pushups than me. You win, Kev. I'll take your word for it.
No one's going to try to beat you there, Kevin.
Yeah. Good job. That's good. 58. Keep it going. Anna, thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, but we got to go. We have to go. I don't want to go either, but we got to. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thank you so much. Please tell a friend about it. And join us live stream around 4 or 5 o'clock on Wednesdays, willsyoutube.com. Click the bell and follow me on social, @home_made_man. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. We'll talk to you very soon. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.